story we read in those little four verses is a very interesting story. There were some vagabond Jews that heard about Jesus, heard about Paul. They heard about the ability that they had to cast out demons. Jesus did it on several occasions. I'm sure he did it more than is even recorded in the Bible. The book of John at the last part says, you know, this is just some of the stuff that was recorded. If everything that he did was recorded, the world couldn't hold the books. And I'm sure there were many occasions that we read about in the Bible. I know there are. And I'm sure there were many other occasions that he cast demons out of people that are not even recorded in God's word. And the Apostle Paul did it on several occasions as well. He would come and get into a situation, and there would be a demon, like I think of that young girl that he and Silas cast the demon out of. The men were using her for a fortune teller. And she was following Paul and Silas. It says, these men are the servants of the Most High God. And she followed them everywhere they went. What she was saying was true, but Paul turned around and cast the demon out of her, and she lost her ability to tell the future. And the men that were using her to tell the future threw him in jail. And that's the night in the Philippian jail. And that's the night the earthquake came, and the doors were open, and Philippian jailer came in, you know, ready to kill himself, and because he thought all the prisoners had escaped. And Paul said, don't kill yourself, don't hurt yourself, we're all here. And he asked that question that has been the subject of many, many sermons: what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They were in prison because Paul had cast a demon out of a young lady. And so these men had heard about Jesus doing that. They'd heard about Paul doing it. And they said, well, we'll try to do the same thing. We think we ought to be able to do the same thing. And so they encountered an evil spirit. And then in the name of the Lord Jesus, they said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And the Bible says there were seven sons of this Jewish chief of the priests that did so. And I want you to notice what the evil spirit, not the person that they were casting the demon out of. Now, the evil spirit probably spoke with that person's voice, but the Bible says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? And then in verse 16, the man in who the, I mean, when they tried to cast him out, the evil spirit didn't leave, because it said, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, and so that they ran from the house naked and wounded. Now, tonight, I want to concentrate on that phrase, and this is my launching point tonight. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? And I've entitled my sermon tonight, Why Fellowship Baptist Church is Known in Hell. I think we're known in hell. I think they talk about us in hell. And I think they do because we do some of the same things that the Apostle Paul did that made him known in hell. Because you see, the Bible teaches us over and over that the demons know about Jesus. I mean, they were angels cast out of heaven, a third of them, and say that they know about Jesus. But for them to say, I know Paul, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. And so tonight, I want to answer the question, what did Paul do that made the demons in hell know him? Because you see, I think if we could be in that company, if evil spirits could say, I know Jesus, I know Paul, and I know that church, we'd be in pretty good company. And so tonight, again, why is Fellowship Baptist Church, why it's known in hell? And again, I submit to you, and this is my premise, that we're known in hell because we do some of the same things that Paul did that made him known to the evil spirits, that made him known in hell. Now, and again, let me just stop and say, just by way of introduction, I think there was rejoicing in hell when Paul was killed. He was beheaded. And I think there was rejoicing. I think if there's a PA system in hell, when Paul was beheaded, I think Satan got, old Lucifer got on the PA system and said, "Attention, attention, attention, the Apostle Paul is now dead. We're going to rejoice." Of course, they don't rejoice in hell because there's no way they could rejoice in that burning pit. But I think Satan was happy when Paul was killed. He said, you know, he's on his way to heaven, but he's not going to influence anybody else to go to heaven. He's on his way to heaven. We lost his soul, but he ain't going to stir up any more Christians. He ain't going to encourage any more quick Christians. He ain't going to teach any more people how to be soul winners and how to start churches. We're just glad he's dead. If they publish newspapers in hell, they came out with a special edition. Paul is dead. So he was known. And again, he was known. I want to give you a couple reasons tonight why he was known. And again, the whole premise of my message is if we do those same things, we'll be in that company where evil spirits will say, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, and by the way, I know that church as well." So I think I have four of them tonight, and maybe five or six. I don't know. Just depends how the Lord leads and how much time I got left. But Paul was known by these evil spirits because, number one, he was on speaking terms with God. He was on speaking terms with God. He prayed. He talked to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God gave Paul an answer when he said, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You that know 2 Corinthians know the story that was going on, the discussion that was going on between Paul and the Lord at this particular point. He had what he called a thorn in the flesh. Nobody really knows what that was. Some people think it was his bad eyesight. And he went to the Lord three times and he said, "Lord, if you will take care of this thing, whatever it was, if you take care of this thing, I could be a better preacher. I could be a better teacher. I could be a better missionary. I could be a better church builder. The things that I do for you, I could do so much better if you just take care of this thing that's in my life that's a bother, that's a pain, that discourages me sometimes. If you could just take care of it, I could be so much more for you." By the way, I think many of us have prayed that same prayer. At times, there's been things in our life where we said, "Lord, if you could just take care of this, if you could just make it go away, if you could just solve it, I could be a better servant for you." And so three times, Paul went to God and said, "God, please take care of this thing." And God came back to him, and this is what Paul said. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God says, "No, I'm not going to take it away, because if I take it away, you won't depend on me as much as you do now. I'm going to leave that thorn in the flesh in your body so you'll know that you have to depend on me." But here's my point. Paul says, "He said unto me." God said to me, "My grace is sufficient." Paul and God were on speaking terms. Paul could talk to God, and God talked back to him. I want to remind you tonight, you may not be able to sing. You may not be able to teach. You may not be able to preach, but you can pray. And there has more been done through prayer than there has any other thing that God has given to mankind. More has been accomplished through prayer than anything else. Great things happen when people get a hold of God, when they go to God in prayer, and they beg God and plead with God to do something, and God responds. Nations have been changed. Churches have been changed. Individuals have been changed. I remember reading a story about D.L. Moody and a town, the elders of a town called him to a city, and they wrote letters to him asking him to come to their city and preach a revival. And Mr. Moody, his schedule was full, and he told him, "No, no, 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 I just can't come. I just can't make time." And until finally, there were two ladies, two ladies that were not in the city government, that were unknown to most of the people in the town. And they wrote Mr. Moody a letter, and they said, Mr. Moody, they were sisters, and they said, we have been praying for revival in our town for 2 years. We've prayed every single day, 3 or 4 times a day. We've gotten down on our knees and we've asked God to do something in our city, to send a revival in our city. And we believe that God wants you to come and preach that revival. And even though he had said no to the city elders, even though he had said no to the pastors in the town, even though his schedule was full, he wrote a letter back to those two sisters and said, because you've invested in prayer, because you've spent 2 years praying for revival, I will come. And he went to that city and had one of the greatest revivals that he ever had. Why? Because two sisters decided to get a hold of God and ask God to do something in their city. I was so pleased that when we put our prayer list out on the table a week ago Wednesday night, that it was filled up in two services. Every blank was filled up. Every half hour was filled up. And yesterday, I don't know, I didn't count the number of unique people because some people signed up for a couple different slots. But yesterday, from 6 in the morning, Brother Pete started us out at 6 in the morning. He said, I'm up anyway, I might as well pray. He said, I do it anyway. But from 6 in the morning, and I think Chantel was the last one on the list, till 9 at night. I was going to call her last night after that great victory she won at the bowling alley to remind her that she needed to pray for her pastor. But from 6 in the morning till 9 at night, every minute of the day in those hours, there was somebody praying. And others have told me, I didn't sign up, but I prayed. Great things happen when God's people pray. And the demons in hell know that when people pray, God's going to answer and something's going to happen. Amen. I had a young man ask me this morning, said, Preacher, what's your favorite Bible verse? I mean, what verse do you go back to over and over and over again? And I said, and I told him, I said, well, if I have to pick one of all the Bible verses that I like, it would probably be Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Paul was known in hell, and we will be known in hell when we are a people that pray. That pray. And again, we're going to have a couple special Saturdays in the month of March where we do it again. Number two, Paul was known in hell because Paul told the truth about sin. He didn't dress it up. He didn't call it by different names. He called it just like God dealt with it in the Bible. He called sin. Paul was the one that wrote Romans and said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know who he includes in that verse? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. We are all sinners. I said that one time in junior church, and a little boy came up to me and said, Preacher, my grandma is not a sinner. Little 10-year-old boy. He said, my grandma is one of the best people that ever lived. She is not a sinner. And I took that little boy by the hand, and I said, come with me. And we went out, and I said, Grandma, your grandson told me that you are not a sinner. Will you help me tell him that you are? And that grandma got, I remember, it wasn't in this church, it was a church down in Ypsilanti when I was preaching in junior church. I can remember, she sat on the front row with her little grandson, said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And she said, so are you. And we got to sit there, Grandma and me, and we led that little boy to Jesus on the front row of that church. Every single one of us are sinners. Paul wrote, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians, he wrote this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Paul told people about sin, and he said there's a penalty for sin. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetousness or an idolater or railer or drunkard or an extortioner with such as one know not to eat." He said, don't hang around them. Don't be friends with them. Tell them about Jesus, but their sin is going to rub off on you, and they're not going to the kingdom of God because the wages of sin is death. And Paul did not back down. You know, you don't hear many TV preachers preach about sin. You want to know why? Now, there's some good preachers on TV, and there's some of them that deal with sin, but most of them don't deal with sin. They talk about the love of God. They talk about how the grace of God. They talk about all the things that God does for us. And all that's true. But they never talk about sin. You know why they don't talk about sin? Right here. They don't want their contributors getting mad at them, calling them sinners, telling the truth about sin. Paul told the truth about sin. Jesus told the truth about sin. John the Baptist told the truth about sin. I mean, you open the pages of the New Testament and preachers of God that were doing what God told them to do, they talked about sin. They did not dress it up. They did not change the names. They pointed their finger in people's faces and said, "You're a sinner. And sinners die and go to hell. Sinners are separated from God forever." Now, the demons in hell don't like that kind of preaching. They don't. They want people to be told they're sinners because they know that if you can't get somebody lost, you can't get them saved. And the only way to get them lost is talk to them about their sin and tell them that they're a sinner. So Paul was known by the demons in hell because he told the truth about sin. Number three, Paul was known by the demons in hell because he was a trainer, an encourager, and an equipper. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul wrote, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And what he's doing in those verses is that he is training and trying to equip Christians. He's telling them what they need to fight the devil. In Acts chapter 19, church at Ephesus, Timothy was pastoring there and they were having some problems. And Paul wrote this, "Son, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind." And what he was doing as he wrote that to his son in the gospel, Timothy, he was encouraging him. He was telling him, you're going to have problems, you're going to have trials, but don't have the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of love. And he was telling them, just love your people. Love your people. He wrote in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, Satan doesn't want us to have any peace. He doesn't. He didn't want you to have peace. He wants us to be upset. He wants us to always be churning. He wants us to always, you know, be troubled about stuff. And he doesn't like it when we encourage others. He doesn't like it when we instruct others. He doesn't like it when we try to equip others. He does not like that. Again, he likes for people to be upset. He likes for people to be worried about different things. And every Sunday school teacher and every counselor and every pastor that tries to influence others to read their Bible, tries to influence others to pray, tries to influence others to be an encouragement to them, Satan doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. Number four, Paul was known in hell, and we can be too, because he was all about winning folks to Christ. He's about winning folks to Jesus. He wrote in Romans chapter 9, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Listen to what Paul's saying. He said, I have such a burden for my Jewish countrymen, for my family, that if I could give up my salvation, I mean, if that would help get them saved, I'd be willing to do it. I'd be willing to do it. Of course, Paul couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But he was expressing the desire of his heart. Said, I mean, he was saying, Lord, if I could give up my own salvation to see the Jewish people come to Christ, he said, they have a false righteousness. They think righteousness can be obtained by works. They think they can be good enough to make up for their sin. I know that's not right. I know it's not true, that it's not works that makes us right with God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith. And Paul was saying, I love them so much that if I could give up my own salvation and that would help them get saved, I'd be willing to do it. I'd be willing to do it. Everywhere Paul went, he preached Jesus. It didn't matter if he was standing before kings or paupers. It didn't matter if he was standing before the well-educated or those that were not educated at all. He said, I become all things to all men so that by all means I can win some. And the focus of Paul's life was to win other people to Jesus Christ. That's the focus of our church. I hope nobody didn't take me wrong this morning. You know, we like to fellowship and we like to eat and we like to have a good time. But it's all about one thing. It's about creating an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. It's about creating an opportunity to tell them that they're sinners and there's a penalty for that sin. The only thing they can do as a sinner is to pay that penalty and die and be separated from God forever and ever. But God loved us so much that he said, oh no, I got to give them a way to escape. And that way to escape is Jesus Christ. He sent his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross in our place. And that's what it's all about. I mean, yeah, we enjoy the dinners and we enjoy the fellowships, but the purpose, what's behind it all, is getting people here that don't know Jesus and tell them about our Savior and tell them that they need to receive the Savior for themselves. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not here by accident. You're here because the Holy Spirit sent you so that you can hear about one who died to pay for your sins so that you could ask him to save you. Ask him to save you. And then number five, I'll quit with this one because I'm almost out of time. Paul was known in hell by the evil spirits, and we can be too, because he did not quit. He didn't quit. He had every reason to. You don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn over to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read a few verses as we close from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Here's what Paul said. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, and perils by my own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I can see a meeting in hell, and I can see all the demons getting together and Satan calling the meeting in order and saying, we got to stop Paul. We got to stop this guy. Anybody have any ideas? I can see one of the demons raising their hand. I said, hey, I got an idea. Let's have them whipped. Let's have somebody take a whip and give him 39 lashes. If we have him whipped, he'll stop. He'll quit preaching, he'll quit teaching, he'll quit telling people about Jesus. Let's just get him whipped. One time, 39 lashes. Two times, three times, four times, five times. Five times, whipped. Paul says, I'm not going to quit. The meeting goes on. Another demon raises their hand and said, hey, that whipping stuff, that's for sissies anyway. Let's beat them with rods. Let's have people get sticks and beat them with sticks. That'll stop them. One time, two times, three times. Paul says, I'm not quitting. Another demon raises his hand. Said, I got an idea. Let's put him out on the sea and have him be shipwrecked. Let's put him in the middle of the sea and see what he does when he has to paddle and tread water for a day and a night. One time, two times, three times. He didn't quit. Another demon raised his hand. I got an idea. Let's make him hungry. Let's make him cold. Let's make him do without. Paul said, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. Then another demon said, I got the best idea at all. The best idea of all. Let's let him get weighed down with the care of all the churches. All those church people that need help from Paul. Let's just lay it on him thick. He'll quit for sure then. Paul said, nope. I'm not quitting. He got to the end of his life and he wrote, I have finished my course. Finished my course. He didn't quit. He didn't quit. You see, if the demons know us, they're going to try to discourage us. They're going to try to do the same things to us that they did to Paul. Going to try to get us down, defeated, discouraged. They may send trials into our life because they want us to quit. They want us to quit. Paul said, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to press toward that mark of the high prize of the calling in Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. Help us to be in that company. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Help the evil spirits never have to ask the question, but who are you? Who are you? Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that as they've heard the gospel, that they're a sinner, that there's a penalty for that sin, and Jesus paid it, that tonight they would examine their life and see that they need a Savior. And they would, right where they sat, ask Jesus to save them. Father, if they need help, help them to come, as we sing in a moment. And we'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to save them. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.